follow Jesus now, it's a choice. And this is what so many people don't get. It's like, I gotta choose. I can't be a part of two gangs. I can't like keep all of my friends and everything going this way, the way life always has been, and then also add Jesus to it. He goes, look, it's two polar opposites. And I see so many people call themselves Christians and try to walk in both worlds. And Jesus says, look, if the world hates you, it's because it hated me first. He says in John 15. He says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But as it is, you're not of the world. I pulled you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. But you got to understand that if you are of the world loves you as its own. So if the world loves you right now, why is that? It's because you never left the world to follow Jesus. And we're trying to walk this life where we're saying, no, we actually are glad that God found us. And it's exactly like what Justin said. Like, some people will hear the gospel and they'll hate it. They'll hate it because it's the opposite of everything they've been taught. Almost the whole city right now is celebrating pride while we celebrate humility. Yeah. Most of the city's going, no, we do what we want to do, and we're proud of that. We're proud of whatever we feel in here, we're going after, and we're saying, well, actually, I'm embarrassed of what's going on in here, and I choose to come under the lordship of Jesus. And he asked me to do things that I don't feel like doing. But that's what humility is about, is saying, look, it's not about me. It's about him, and I'm going to come under whatever he tells me to do, and sometimes it's horrible. Sometimes it's miserable. Man, this is not one of these places where we're going to come, oh, follow Jesus, everything's going to be so easy, everything's going to be great. He just adds to your life. No, he takes away quite a bit. Pretty much everything. And says, die to yourself. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. And that's a tough thing. But at the same time, there's some of us who are crazy enough to go, actually, I think he's worth it. He's that great. Man, when I just sit and think about you sitting on that couch and God opening your eyes to like, you're so good, and just bawling your eyes out like, man, I can have him? I just kept wondering, man, how many of us get that? That's not just adding something to your life, but it's making a choice. Most of us have been reading the book of Jeremiah this week, you know, and, you know, I think I convinced myself that our world was so horrible right now. Like, in a lot of ways, I think, man, in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen the world this evil. But then I read the book of Jeremiah, and I'm going, man, that's pretty bad back then. You know, I'm thinking, oh no, but people are so anti-God. They're just doing their own thing. And then I read Jeremiah and I go, same. You know, exactly. It's just, there's no difference. In fact, it was talking about how it got so bad in Jeremiah, in chapter 7. It talks about, I think it was worse back then, maybe. Because it says, they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it even come into my mind. Say, wait a second. These guys are in the valley of Hinnom, taking their sons and daughters and killing them, and sacrificing them to God. What's crazy is 3 weeks ago, some of us were in Israel together in the valley of Hinnom, looking at archaeological digs where they showed these skeletons of these babies systematically killed and burned in the fire. And I'm looking at that and I'm reading Jeremiah this week. Oh, no way, I saw that. We were in that exact place where they were burning the children and looking at these skeletons that were dug up where, man, why are there all these babies with their heads severed and burned to death? And then you read about it in Jeremiah, exactly where he said it would take place. And you go, wow, maybe that's worse. They were killing babies. Good thing we don't live in a country that murders babies and calls it something that's virtuous, like a woman's choice. it just doesn't make sense when you really think about it. You know, we say, well, it's different with us because the babies we kill are still inside the womb. See, if it's inside, you can murder it, but the moment it comes out, then it's wrong. Does that really make sense? Is that 1 second? So what about the babies coming out and you stab it to death then? Is it not murder? Like, when does it become murder? You guys, look, I understand this is a touchy thing, but it's, it doesn't make sense if you really think about it. You go, well, they did it as a religion, you know, so that's what was evil about it. And so it's okay if you do it out of convenience? And that makes it okay or less evil? Look, I know there are some of you that have killed your babies in the past. And I'm not saying that there isn't forgiveness. There absolutely is forgiveness because of what took place on that cross. What Justin was saying about how everything, all the wrath deserved for you was poured out on Jesus. And so you're 100% pure, cleansed of that. You can let that go. You can move on. You've been forgiven. But I hope there was a time when you got in your faith, on your face and said, God, I'm so sorry for what I did, rather than seeing it as a virtuous thing. You see, that's the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was promised by God that his life was going to be miserable, that everyone was going to hate him. I mean, that's a pretty tough way to start life. In fact, Jeremiah, I don't know why, but this book jumps out to me like no other. I remember about 10, 15 years ago, I just wanted to get close to God. You know, I felt like, man, you know, if I want to get close to my wife, I'll go on vacation with her. If I want to get close to God, why don't I do the same thing with him? Where I just get alone with him and no one else. And so I went out in the woods for 4 days and I just didn't even see another human being. That's what I wanted. I just want some water. Let me go in the woods in my friend's cabin. I'm not that tough. Sounded all cool, but yeah, I borrowed a cabin too. But I didn't want to sleep out there with bears and stuff, but I remember just going, man, I'm just gonna get close to God. And I did one of those, let me flip open the Bible and see where it lands type of thing, which I don't totally recommend, but it worked. And I landed on the first page of Jeremiah. I thought, oh, that's weird, I never read Jeremiah. Let me see what's on page 1. And I got to verse 5 and I didn't read another verse for 4 days. I don't remember reading another verse for 4 days. It hit me so hard because he says, before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's crazy. God says before he formed Jeremiah in the womb, he already knew him, and that he already decided that he was going to be a prophet. See, that tripped me out. I just started thinking, God, is that true of me? Like, did you know me before I was even born, before I even came out of my mother's womb? You knew who I was and you had a plan for me? Like, he needed someone on the earth during Jeremiah's time when he says, everyone else is going to be telling lies. You're going to tell the truth, though. You tell them everything. And so God tells Jeremiah, look, when you were in your mom's womb, I already knew what you were going to do. So think to yourself, is that true of you? That you're not a mistake. I know you went through all sorts of garbage in your life, but to go, man, I'm not a mistake. Like, God specifically designed me for something. And I just dwelt on that for 4 days going, are you kidding me? So that I can't fail. You made me like this. Man, I used to look in the mirror and compare myself to other people, but I don't match up to him. This guy's smart. This guy's, you know, better leader. This guy's a better speaker. This guy's this. You go on and on and on. And look at my life. I'm so weird. I don't even have parents. I don't have this. I don't have that. And then this has kind of trumped everything. Where God goes, look, before you even born, I knew you. You think I screwed up when I made you? No, I made you specifically, and I got a plan for you. He told Jeremiah, look, before you came out of your mother's womb, I said, this is the guy. He's going to be a prophet. He's the one to the nations. And to know that I'm not a mistake or an accident. And it was like something God decided beforehand. Like, he made me for a purpose. It wasn't like I was born and he looked and go, whoa, I didn't know that was going to happen. Chinese baby 2,000,000,004. You know, what am I going to do with this one? No. It says that before he even formed me, he knew me. He goes, I'm specifically going to make him, and I'm going to use him. And for us to believe that and know, that's why it was huge. So that's why Jeremiah is always connected to him. But this week, you know, as I was reading it, the passage that hit me was just a few verses later in verse 17. He says, but you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. That's what I'm saying. God tells Jeremiah, he goes, look, I'm going to have you say some things that the people are not going to like. But I'm telling you, you better say everything I tell you to say, and don't be afraid of them, or I'll give you something to be afraid of. That's what he says in verse 17. You want to be afraid? He goes, don't you dare fear them, or I will give you something to fear. It's like, okay, God, I've got a choice. I either fear all my friends, the city, whatever the world is teaching, or I fear you. And it's like, okay. And he tells Jeremiah, he goes, look, I've made you, I've given you the ability to stand like a bronze wall, like a fortified city, like nothing's gonna take you down. But he goes, but I promise you, everyone's gonna try. I mean, look at the people he names. He goes, a bronze wall's against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people. That's pretty much it. Well, he covered it all with the people. You know, it's like, okay, Jeremiah, the king's gonna be against you. The government officials are gonna be against you. Even the priests, even the religious leaders will be against you for your message. And all the people will be against you. But he goes, but I'm gonna be with you to deliver you. God says, I promise you, I won't let them take you down. But it's gonna be a lonely life. Everyone in that city is gonna hate you. But you say to them everything I tell you to say. And you guys, I think this is the biggest challenge for our generation. Are you willing to be rejected? This is gonna be the hardest thing for all of us. I thought about this. If someone stuck a gun to my head and said, I'm gonna pull the trigger unless you deny Jesus Christ, I'm gonna just say, shoot. That's kinda easy, to be honest, yeah. Right? But to be rejected every day, that's a difficult thing. Sometimes we pride ourselves, I would die for Jesus, I would do. But I just, living for him, that's hard. Being rejected by everyone I know, I don't know. That's what Jeremiah had to deal with. And I think that's this generation more than, because we're obsessed with being liked. We're obsessed with getting likes, right? I mean, we value a person based upon their Twitter followers, right? How many Facebook friends they have. I mean, this is how we judge each other now. It's not even money anymore. It's how many followers does he have? How many people like him? How many likes did Jeremiah get? He got one giant thumb, right? It's like, all right, I'll take that, right? I mean, that's gonna be the challenge for us. And the thing is we can try to play both sides. We can try to love both, and man, it's just not possible nowadays. You've gotta make a choice. And that's why I was wrestling with the book of Jeremiah this week. It's like, wow, I can't do it. I can't be loved by the world. And I think Christians have gotten very crafty of saying, well, I'm just, you know, loving on them, being there and everything else. But the truth is in our hearts, we don't really want to be rejected. So we avoid certain things. And that's why God tells Jeremiah, look, don't avoid anything. You tell them everything I tell you. It's offensive for me to say what I said about abortion. I just don't know what else to do with that. I can skirt it. I mean, I didn't have to talk about that. Let's just avoid that. Let's just avoid the whole sanctity of life issue. But God tells Jeremiah, no, what kind of man are you? Don't be a coward. I made you to be a city that no one can take down, a bronze wall. And it's time for some of us to step up and say, okay, you know what? I'm willing to take it. I've been careful with my words, make sure I'm not offensive, make sure, you know, you just walk in both sides because you don't want to be rejected. And the bottom line is, he tells Jeremiah, everyone's going to be against you because of your message. And when I look at the message that he tells Jeremiah to give, it's offensive. It's offensive thousands of years ago, and it's offensive today. Three things I saw that was over and over and over in Jeremiah that I want to point out that people will hate you for if you're willing to speak up. First thing, number one, you're not a good person, so don't follow your heart. Your heart's evil. Don't follow your heart. In fact, in Jeremiah 9, verse 12, at the end of verse 12, Jeremiah 9, 12, he goes, why is the land ruined and laid waste like a wilderness so that no one passes through? And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it, but have stubbornly followed their own hearts. He goes, why am I destroying this city? Because the people won't come under my law. They're rejecting these commands and stubbornly following their own hearts. That's the message of the world right now. Follow your heart. Man, I'm going after this because God made me like this, and in my heart, I really feel like this is right. And they'll say with tears in their eyes, no, everything in my mind tells me, well, your mind is evil and your heart is evil. And God was destroying this city because the people were stubbornly following their own hearts rather than the word of God. What's so crazy? I mean, you don't even remember the story, Marissa, but she was in like sixth grade or something. And one day the teacher quoted scripture, tried to, and, you know, it's public school. And he says, you know, it's like in the Bible when Jesus said, it's more important to follow your heart than the commands. And, you know, Mercy, I don't know, you were like, I don't know, 11 years old or something, raise your hand, goes, what verse is that? You know? I mean, it's 11-year-old, it's going, where is that? I mean, that was verbatim his words. And she came home, because she asked, goes, Dad, it's not in there, is it? I'm going, no. It's more important to follow your heart than the commands? This is the exact opposite, but that's what's being taught. And you know, the next day she goes back to class. You know, the teacher's like, oh yeah, I'll find it. And he's like, hey, did you find that verse? It's like, no, but it's in there. She goes, no, I asked my dad. He reads the Bible a lot. He says it's not in there. No, it's in there. I'll find it. No, it says the opposite, that God is destroying people because they stubbornly follow their own heart rather than the commands of God. This isn't popular. There's so many things in my heart and my mind that contradict this book. And at that time, you've got to decide, am I going to follow my heart, my thoughts, my feelings that come from deep within, or am I going to say, you know what? I'm going to humble myself, rather celebrate my own pride. I'm going to humble myself and say, you know what? My heart is desperately wicked. I think evil thoughts. Think about myself nonstop, and I need to submit to the word of God that tells me the opposite. So you can understand why Jeremiah was hated. He was telling everyone, look, this is what's going on. You're following your heart, and you're off. You're not as great as you think you are. You're not a good person. Second thing that he preached, that God told him to preach, is that all other religions are false. That's a popular message. All other religions are false. And he doesn't even do it delicately. You know, they had so many gods, so many idols. Here's what Jeremiah says about the idols that people were worshiping in Jeremiah 10, verse 8. Because God told him to say this. Jeremiah 10, verse 8. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. They are the work of the craftsman in the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Starting to understand why Jeremiah was hated? He spoke up. He says, look, all these other gods are not real. I know, you can go to India right now. There's like 300 million gods that they've carved out. This is over a billion people. Golden images, wooden images. And just say, you know what, that's... Can you imagine if Jeremiah walked in, hey, that's not just stupid, it's stupid and foolish. Because you're listening to wood. I can tell you where that silver came from. That silver was shipped over here from so-and-so. Some guy beat it down and marked it, and now you're saying it's speaking to you? He goes, no, there's only one God, and he's a living God. You don't have to create him. He's actually your creator. And we go, yeah, yeah, those stupid people and their idols. We don't do that in America. You guys, we do the same thing. We just don't use wood. But we make up these gods in our own mind based upon our own thoughts. I mean, where did that wooden image come from for that guy? In his head, I'm gonna make his eyes like this. I'm gonna give him 6 arms. No, 8 arms. No, 12 arms. You know, it's just, I'm gonna keep adding eyes and arms, and this is how, why? Because it came out of my mind, and now I fleshed it out onto a piece of wood or a piece of metal. Now, we don't do that. But we make up gods all the time out of our own minds and our own hearts. I think God would let me do this. I think God would not be a God of punishment. I think God would have everlasting life, but not everlasting punishment. I think God, where's this coming from? Again, your own head. You didn't carve it out, but you created this God for you. And that's why he says in chapter 2, he goes, hey, when the judgment comes, call out to your God and see what happens. Go ahead, cry out to that piece of wood. See if he saves you from my wrath. That's what Jeremiah is saying. It's like you, anyone here, you can make up your own mind from your own heart, your own thoughts, your own feelings, and let's just see what happens when judgment day comes. Cry out to that God you imagine in your head that doesn't care about your sin. See if he rescues you. And I'll cry out to the living God that I've been coming under his word and under his commands and thanking him for his salvation. I'll cry out to that God and you see what happens. See, that's what God says. That's what Elijah said on Mount Carmel. He goes, go ahead, cry out to Baal. Go ahead, cut yourself. Scream out to him. Have your worship service. Go all day, all night. No one's going to listen to you. Now watch what happens when I pray to the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I say the same thing. And then finally, he preached that judgment day is coming. God is going to judge the deeds of man. And this is such a big one nowadays, you guys. Because we have people, pastors, preachers, evangelists, preaching that there's no longer a judgment of God. That don't worry about hell. This is the popular thing now. Man, that God would never punish like that. And they offer people this sense of peace. And every funeral you go to, they go, he's in a better place. Oh good, he's in a better place. She's in a better place. Because it's so much nicer to preach that, isn't it? Man, I was talking to a friend of mine, well, he was a friend of mine, that started teaching this opposite doctrine that hell doesn't exist anymore. Basically, that, you know what, that eternal punishment thing, that was for the dark age. I'm like, man, how do you get that? I mean, where do you get from the scriptures, these exact words, where do you get from the scriptures that God's going to empty out hell and everyone gets to go to heaven? He goes, well, it's not in there, but isn't it a better story? Those were his words. Isn't it a better story? That's your argument? Isn't it a better story? By the way, that was Rob Bell who wrote Love Wins. Just so you don't get caught up in that. Isn't it a better story? Wouldn't it be a better ending, Francis, for all of your friends that didn't know Jesus, just to know that they're in a better place now? Yeah, sure. But I can write a lot of good stories. You understand? But what Jeremiah is saying is the same thing to the lying prophets. He says, the Lord, you know, in Jeremiah 14, verse 13, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I'll give you assured peace in this place. This is what the prophets were saying. Hey, it's cool. You're not going to face judgment. God wouldn't kill you. He's not going to have you starve to death. And the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, although I did not send them, and who say sword and famine shall not come upon this land, by sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem, victims of famine and sword, with none to bury them. Them, their wives, their sons, their daughters, I will pour out their evil upon them. God says, look, they're telling lies. All through, you've been reading Jeremiah. It's like, man, the prophets are, these are supposed to be prophets, and they're prophesying lies. They're prophesying peace, peace when there is no peace. Ah, he's in a better place. He's in a better place when he's not in a better place. Look, I get it. Man, I've said things that fly against the face of every... I don't know who I haven't offended this morning. Okay? But there comes a point where you say, you know what, I'm okay with that. Okay, I'm done trying to tiptoe. Jeremiah didn't. Jeremiah's life sucked. Right? Let's throw him in prison. Let's put him in the stock. No, let's throw him in a cistern and have him sink into the mud and starve to death. No, let's pull him out and throw him in a dungeon. No, let's just have everyone hate him. And at the end of it, he's like, I got this. As long as I've got God. And I was thinking today, man, I'm so grateful for some of you because I know you stand with me and we've got this. You know, but I thought, you know what, if none go with me, still I'll follow. I don't know what else to do. I was created for this. I was made for this. And we've got to understand, we've got to make a choice at some point. There's no way you can tell me that you objectively read this book and came up with the idea that there is no judgment and that there is no punishment for sin. There's no way you can tell me you objectively read this book and walked away and thought, I think God wants homosexual relationships. You can't tell me these things. You didn't come with that. No, it came from your own heart and your desire and your love for people, which isn't a bad thing. But when it comes to the point where you say, you know what, I'm going to choose them over the commands of God, and I'm going to choose my own heart over I'm not saying be rejected just to be rejected. Okay, please understand this. There's some people that like rejection. Like, they'd be rejected if they weren't Christians. They're just annoying. Well, I'm not talking about that. You know, people like that. I met some people that went, wow, he's willing to be rejected for Jesus. But then I see, man, he's rejected for everything. He's just weird. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those of us who hate rejection, who love being loved and love people and don't want to tell them that what they're doing is wrong, and it's the last thing we want to come out of our mouths, but then we read the Word of God and go, I gotta say it. I have to say it out of love for them. And before we get any, you know, self-righteous, man, I just want you to make sure you catch chapter 9, verse 1, where Jeremiah says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. This is not Jeremiah with this joyful, man, I'm so glad, I'm right, you're wrong, you're all going to hell, God's going to destroy this. No, he says, man, I wish my eyes were just like a fountain, because I just want to cry all day. This is killing me. This kills me to have to say this. It kills me to think about what's going to happen when people face God. Like, he is no joke. Every time, he doesn't bluff. Man, if you're here rejecting everything I say, going, man, he's full of this, man, I'm not mad, I'm just scared. I'm seriously scared for you. Man, I worry about you. My heart breaks for you, because many of us were in that same place. That was Justin's testimony. Man, I loved evil. I hated this message. And at some point, God opened my eyes. And that's what we pray for. Man, you think I like teaching this stuff? You think Jeremiah liked being rejected? But it was his heart for people that he had to say it. One last verse I want to take you to. It's not in Jeremiah. It's actually in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13:13. But I want to go back one verse, verse 12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. I love this passage. See, Jesus, okay, just stick with me one more second. Jesus was not allowed to be crucified in the city walls, okay? Because the crucifixion was something so evil, so despicable. When you hung a person on a tree, he's immediately cursed by God. He's dirty. So he's like, there's animal sacrifice, man. They got to throw the carcasses over the city. We don't want this stuff. This is the crap. They would take the crap, the literal crap from the animals and everything. Get it out of the city. Make sure that is outside of the city walls. And so when it came to Jesus, it's like, no, we can't crucify him in the city. Are you kidding me? That's gross. He belongs with the crap. Let's put him outside the city walls, hang him on this tree, stick him on this stake, and he belongs out there. That's where we'll torture him. That's where we're crucifying him, outside the city gates. And that's why I love that verse 13, the imagery. He goes, so you know what? They just took our Savior and they threw him out of the city as some reject and put him in a pile of crap and hung him on a cross. So you guys, let's go outside the city gates to our Savior and bear the reproach that he bore. Amen. He says, you know what? If you're going to stick Jesus out there, I'm going with him. Amen. And I'll stand knee high in that crap and stand there with my Savior on that cross. So you're gonna reject me? Reject me. I'm standing with Jesus. That's the author of Hebrews encouraging us. Come on, man. You wanna stay in the city? You wanna stay inside the city gates and make everyone love you? Go ahead. But you know what? I'm willing to march outside and be rejected. And for a lot of my life, I've been a coward. And I'm just saying, you know what? Reject me. I don't wanna spend my life as a coward. Let me go. Hate me. Do what you need to do. You did it to Jesus. You'll do it to me because I'm not of this world. If I was of the world, you'd love me. But I'm not. I'm not, and I'm okay with that. And I don't do this with an arrogance. It breaks my heart to do this. And it kills me that others aren't willing to do this because God is so worth it. God is so worth it. He's bigger than any inconvenience in your life. Bigger than any sexual desire in your life. He's worth everything. And so I'm going to march out of the city and stand there at the cross because I just want to be with Jesus. And I hope that's true of you. Father, I pray that you make this church a courageous church. Every time we take communion, may we think about how the people rejected you, how you came to that which was your own, and your own creation did this to you. And so, Father, we want to stand with you, so give us the courage. Give us the courage to do what Justin did, because you put that in him. Put that in all of us, Lord, to see you is worth it. many of us right here would die for you, Lord. And now I'm asking you for something deeper. May we be willing to be rejected for you. In love, preach the gospel. Love on these people who don't know you yet, but ultimately stand with you when they reject your gospel. We love you, Jesus, and you are worth it. And this life is going to end any second. We thank you, God, this week as Pastor G died. We thank you that he had faith in you and he's with you. Ask that you be with the family. Lord, thank you that we don't fear death or anything else. And now make it so we don't fear rejection. In Jesus' name, amen.